The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
I'd like for us to begin this teaching today by turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. We get right into it by reading this verse. You'll know the topic very, very shortly. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Apparently, the Corinthians had an issue with comparing themselves with one another. And here's the thing, brethren. I think we all need to understand that sometimes we find ourselves also suffering from the pride that causes us to also compare ourselves with one another. But do we understand why we do that? A very important reason for us to understand why we as humans tend to do this is because it is so deeply ingrained in our human nature to evaluate ourselves by human standards. Even if we're part of the Church of God, we still have a tendency to do so. Hence the verse that Paul wrote to the Corinthian members there. Now, I want you to think about this point with me for a moment. Our society has a tendency to put pressure up on us to make comparison among ourselves. I mean, they make statements. You can put in other details, but you'll get the point. But we are pressured in some way to compare ourselves with others by statements like, you need to be more like your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your whatever else, or like he is or like she is. And we know, we understand that this is true. This happens in our society. Or other statements along the lines of, you can win, they aren't as good as you are. So here's a point for us to consider and for us to realize. We are all different and unique, and yet we still have the tendency to compare ourselves among ourselves. It is human nature. And while learning from others by looking at others is in many different ways a good thing to do, it helps us in our decision-making process and various things like that if it is used to reinforce an unrealistic or a negative self-image. It is a very bad habit to get into. And yet that's what we as humans tend to do. Let me give you a quote that I'd like for us to consider. I think it's interesting. The author is unknown. He or she has written a lot of things, right? Why compare yourselves with others? No one in the entire world can do a better job of being you than you. I love this statement. It's just so wonderful. I think it kind of summarizes the whole thing. Why would we doing this and want to be like others or comparing ourselves and with others whenever no one can be better than you? And that's true. A major reason that we compare ourselves with others is the result of carnal mindedness and spiritual immaturity. We do it because we're humans and we have human nature. Now I'm getting into why would we do it? And this is how we need to look at this topic. This is where it's coming from. Because I cannot come up with any positive reason for comparing ourselves with one another and being a true believer. And so if we do it, and I know that we do, this is the result, or this is the reason why this is true. Now, with this in mind, go with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. Romans 8 and verse 5. For they that after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. It's human nature to compare ourselves among ourselves. And we already read, and it's not wise. So we know it's not a good thing. So for us who should be spiritual, who are believers, and we're doing it, are we carnally thinking or spiritually thinking? The Bible is very plain. The Bible is very straightforward. Go with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Again, this is to the Corinth church, the church in Corinth. You remember, they're the ones that were comparing themselves because this is why he made the statement to them. You're doing this. Don't do this. It's not wise. And this is a few chapters before when he's leading up to all of this and he's showing them this. Now in verse 3. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Now, do these things happen in the church of God? Absolutely. Do we need to name names? No, we don't, because we all know it. We know that this happens even in the church of God. Now, verse 8. Now, he that plants, it's the last part of the verse, but because he said, I do this and Paulos does this. People were comparing. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. That's comparing. Verse 8. Now he that plants and he that waters are one, yet every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. It's not based upon what somebody else does or does not do. It's based upon what we do. Why would we be comparing ourselves? And this is a principle that we're going to be seeing, and we're going to hammer this through the whole teaching today. Because, brother, what we need to do is we need to let God be the judge, as he is the one who sees the hidden man of the heart. And I'm using that phrase because we're going to read a verse that actually says that. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. Because, see, you have to understand, when we start comparing ourselves with one another, it is a form of judging. I mean, I think we all would see that and would understand that that's what we're doing. And he says, don't do this. Who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest, make known the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. But he says, don't be judging. So we could get immediately to him not really doing that, but we could go immediately from a sermon dealing with not comparing ourselves to getting into judging, because that's also a very big part of it. And it says, you don't do that. Therefore, judge nothing. And here's a point that I think is good for us to understand and to hear very early in this teaching. Any person claiming to be a true believer of Jesus Christ and presents himself or herself as the standard of righteousness, you go, whoa, people don't do that. Comparing, that is exactly what we're doing. That is what we're doing. And will compare himself to others who appear to him to be less spiritually than he himself. That's what we're doing. Let me give you some points or bullets. to consider some things about this type of person who is doing these things that I'm just saying, that I just gave you. The first bullet is, his views are the standard of righteousness. That's what he thinks. Have you heard any church group say, we're the only church group? So I'll go back and ask the question again. Do we think this is happening in the Church of God today? The answer is, yeah. The second one is, his ways of worship are the models of proper devotion. This is the way you're supposed to do it, or this is the only way that you are to do this. Has this happened in the Church of God? Yes. I even know that on at least one or two church groups that, I mean, I'm sorry, I consider all these people to be part of the body of Jesus Christ, even in different groups. They're just different of administrations, but they don't see it that way. But even in their bylaws, they put in the order of services. This is the only way to do it. I don't have a problem with the way we do services, but I don't have a problem if somebody else does it another way if we are all praising and worshiping and honoring God on the Sabbath day together. But I'm telling you, it's in bylaws of some groups. Three songs, opening prayer. I mean, we do that, but that's not a standard that's necessarily that we can go to right out of the Bible. The next bullet is, his habits and customs are, in his own opinion and own estimation, perfect. The next bullet, he looks at himself as the true measure of spirituality, humility, and zeal. I'm the best, we're the best, we're the brightest, we're the this or we're the other. That's what somebody part of the church would have to be claiming. The next bullet. He condemns others for failing to rise to his level. He condemns others for failing to rise to his level. And I have one more bullet here. He has the tendency to judge everything by his own yardstick or his own standard himself. Brethren, we are all unique. We all live under a unique set of circumstances. No one has gotten to the place in their life by the same method and road that I have. I wouldn't want people to be comparing themselves with me and holding me up and saying, he's the standard. You don't know how I got here. I don't know how you got to where you are. We know things about each other, but we don't really understand every intricacy about that, and I know you know what I'm saying. God does, but we don't. And so, well, he's not as good as I am, or he's better than I am, or she's not as good, or she's better, or whatever we're doing, we're making comparisons against things that we don't really understand about one another. So I'm going to give you three more bullets at this time, but this time it's for us to consider about our own unique set of circumstances. There's three bullets on this one. The first one is, we are working on different problems, growing at various rates on different character traits. I would dare say in an audience of this size, and probably even including, we don't even know the number that are on the phone and the internet, which we know there's more than they are actually here, I doubt anybody is among all of us are working on the exact same problems And so it makes our lives unique that we are working on different problems and we come at it from different backgrounds and different situations. And we have to see it in that way. The second bullet is we experience different trials from one another. We experience different trials from one another. And yes, before you start jumping on me, I am very much aware of what it says over in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Not even reading it. Because we are working on different trials. And the third one is, we have been influenced by our environment in individual and distinctive ways. I mean, I know that I could ask this question here because does it make me better or worse? I'm just showing differences. Can I see the hands of anybody else who grew up on a farm? Okay, we got one other person that raised their hand. Well, I guess we got two of the women in the congregation. Okay, let's eliminate the women and say, how many of you men grew up on a farm? Because I'm telling you, it's different. I'm not saying that they didn't work as hard as I did. I'm just, you understand what I'm saying? And the answer is none. Now, does that make me better or worse? And the answer is, it doesn't have anything to do with it. But it has a lot to do with my development and who and what I am, if you see what I'm saying. Now, how many of you grew up in the city of, you know, of 1,000 people? Or how many of you grew up in a city of 1,000,000 people? And we have that. And all of that makes a difference. That is my point. We all live life in a unique way because of our differences in our environment that we grew up in to bring us to the place, the situations and all of these things. And we're still going to compare ourselves with one another? What is the comparison? What is it based upon? Pride. It's all based upon pride. Brethren, please understand, a true and accurate comparison is impossible by another human being of another human being. It's not accurate. That's the point. So why would we do it? I mean, after all, when you really stop and think about it, it misses the mark of perfection according to the truth of God. Because God says that we are. God shows that we're unique. I stated this earlier and I stated it again here because this is the proper place for it. Only God can truly judge a person because only God can judge the heart and only God can observe the entire picture of our life. When we get to the place that we can do those three things, then maybe we can make comparisons. And if we get to that place, we won't be making comparisons because there will be no need to do so. When you really get down to it, comparing ourselves among ourselves does not accomplish the goal that God has in mind for us, and that goal is the total renewing of our minds. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Philippians 2 and verse 5. There's a lot more to this, and I'm reading just the one verse almost out of context to make this particular point, and it is the total renewing of our mind that God wants us to come to. It's an incredible goal that He has for us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the mind of Jesus Christ, He never compared Himself. Comparing ourselves among ourselves or with even others. And I use the term comparing ourselves among ourselves. I'm not necessarily talking about us within the church comparing ourselves with others within the church. I'm talking about us comparing ourselves with other fellow travelers, human beings, whether it be in or out of the church or in and out of any other groups, whatever. The comparing ourselves among ourselves can discourage us from overcoming the problems that we have because it causes us to aim too low or it causes us to look in the wrong direction. If you're comparing how to deal with your problems by the way that I've dealt with my problems, it's not going to work because you don't have the same background. You don't have the same, you know, we're different in education. We have different in intellects. We have difference in, if you're a female, you certainly can't because you don't have the mind, thank you God, of a man, right? That's what some of you women would be saying, and I may agree with that. But we can't compare that. It doesn't accomplish anything because we're either going to shoot too low or we're going to be looking in the wrong direction. Then when we do this, what happens is it, in an untruthful way, provides us with self-justification for the way we are. The result is obvious. There is no change and no growth. Because if you even compare yourself and say, well, this person is, they're doing this and I want to do it just like that, you're either aiming too low or you're aiming in the wrong direction. And so if you even start doing it like the other person just because the other person is doing it, are you really going to accomplish what you really need to be doing? And the answer is probably not. Probably not. Because you're not going to have all the same things to do it. It's the Word of God. That's where we have to go. That's where we have to go. And also, when you really start thinking about it this way, this is judgment according to our own standards and not the standards of our Creator. I know that some of you know that in times past that I was heavily involved in athletics and sports. And if you don't know it, that's okay. Because this next statement that I'm going to make, I'm telling you, it's coming from personal experience. So I'm saying this because I've been there and I understand it. And this is the reason why I'm making that statement. For those people who have really heavily been in athletics, it is understood that if a person competes only with other athletes with equal or less skilled abilities, you're not going to grow. You have to have resistance. You have to have something to strive to be better than you are, if you follow it in that line of thinking, if you see what I'm saying. But we understood that, and the principle of this we can actually see over in the book of Proverbs 27 and verse 17. If you go with me there real quick. Proverbs 27 and verse 17, the A part, just those first three words. Iron sharpens iron. But if you're the same strength level and you're working against that, you're not going to get better. I'm just telling you, in an athletic point of view, you're not going to get better if you're always playing against people the same level that you are or less than you are. Because you're only going to go so far. That's human nature. Whether it is at an individual sport level, such things as tennis, sports like that, or if it's a team sport like volleyball or basketball, skills are sharpened by pushing one another to excel the skill of the other person or the other team. You go, well, isn't that a comparison? It's not. That's not the same if you follow what I'm saying. Part of the reason I'm giving this is because I know this is a problem in the greater large Church of God. I know this is a problem in it. Okay, that's part of it. But there was also this thing that came out in the news this week. There was this high school football team that scored 91 points against another team, and the final score was 91-0. And they got all of this controversy going on. Here's the point. The team that scored 91 is much better than the other team. What else would you have expected? It was a miss. They should have never had these two teams working together, playing together. It got to the place that in the first quarter, the coach took out all the first team. By the end of the game, he has people who have never played in a game, and they're scoring touchdowns against this other team. Even their third string is better than this other team's best team. And an athletic skill, if you see what I'm saying. That's all the comparison here. It should have never been. They were comparing things that should have never happened. And they got all these parents are doing this. There's even a lawsuit happening. They're being charged with bullying. How ridiculous is this? In high school, there was one of the games whenever our team was playing. It wasn't something like this, but it was something like 60-something to nothing. And all the players, and by the time of the second half, it was the second and third, fourth string players are playing in this game as well. And somebody made a criticism that says, well, yeah, but in all these tackles, there were 7 or 8 of the guys were piling on, hitting, going to the tackle, and that's really bad. Coach, what do you think about it? And he says, where were the rest of the guys? Why wasn't all of the guys there? I mean, he looked at it as that way because he wanted his guys to be better and better. And I thought it was a valid point, But this is the society we're in. We want to compare, but we don't want to compare when it comes to things that are just unequal. Everybody should be able to do all of these things. And it's wrong. It's not iron sharpening iron. And that's a very major point. And here's the point that I'm making. When rightly understood, this principle also works just as effectively in spiritual matters. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Only if we set our sights higher than ordinary humanity, not Church of God, if you follow what I'm saying, will we ever attain godly nature. If we're comparing ourselves with the world, we're never going to improve. They're never going to attain the nature of God. But if we're looking within ourselves and sharpening ourselves among themselves, then we've got a better shot at it when you understand what I'm talking about. Go with me to Proverbs 13 and verse 20. Proverbs 13:20. He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You can't accomplish spiritual growth in a vacuum. And you can't really have a lot of spiritual growth if we're simply making ourselves, comparing ourselves to the world. We're comparing ourselves to somebody that is not at the same level. Go with me to Colossians 3 and verse 1. Colossians 3 and verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, baptized, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And we are comparing ourselves with one another? It's not of God. Why would we think that would be an okay thing to do? And the answer is we know it's not, but we do it anyway because we get ourselves in predicaments and situations. I mean, we see even the disciples of Jesus Christ got themselves into some predicaments by comparing themselves on a few situations. We want to take a look at at one or two examples here. Let's go to Matthew 18, verse 1. Matthew 18 in verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" What he's saying is, which one of us is going to be the greatest? What a dumb question. You know, but they did it. They asked it, and it's recorded for us. And which one asked it is not the point here. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Do you want to compare yourselves? Compare yourself with the little child. It's the only time that you can see that he ever comes close to having a comparison. If you want to look like something, you want to do this, be like a little child. Now, you have to go into all the things a little child would be. And obviously, it's characteristics that that a Christian would need to have. Verse 4, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." You can also see same example as over in Luke chapter 9, verse 46, 48, right through there. Jesus used a similar situation to show his disciples how their comparing was based upon worldly, carnal values. Go with me to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20. And verse 20. Matthew 20, verse 20, we begin. "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, James and John." Now, we have to understand, James and John are not necessarily the ones that are doing this. They just happen to be the object of the, "Look at my boys." I mean, okay, well, you know the situation. "Desiring a certain thing of him, and he said unto him, what is it that you want? And she said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom." Now, let me ask you a question. Why would someone ask for this place of honor? Because obviously it would have to have been considered as a place of honor, right? Why would somebody have asked for that place? Do you think it might be that they considered themselves better than the others? At least the mother did. Because they're better than the others. That's the implication. And how do I know that? Because of what Jesus, how he answered it. I mean, think about it this way. Who else was going to be in those positions if not one of his disciples? Right? Okay, let's continue on. Verse 24. "And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers." Do you think it might be that they had thought that that should be a position held for maybe them? I mean, you know, you step back and look at it, and somebody asks for this thing, and you go, wow, that's great. Because you know somebody's going to be there. And then Jesus comes out and he tells them, he says, it's not even mine to answer, you know, to give it, but, you know, it's not his. And so they didn't understand that. We can understand it now. But what an awesome thing to ask for. And you know that, you know Jesus Christ, you know he's not going to put somebody in there that is not, shall we say, the best for the position. So by getting upset, by asking for it, they think they're better. And then getting upset by the fact that these two asked for it, they had to consider, the ten had to consider that it should have been one of them or two of them. Do y'all see it this way? This is the way I'm seeing this. Verse 25. "But Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and that they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant." It says minister in the kingdom. Servant. Again, he's telling you how you do it. You be the servant. "And whosoever will be the chief among you, let him be your slave." You be the slave to these people. In other words, just really, totally, completely humble yourself down. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Why are you bickering about which one of you want to be on the right and the left hand when Jesus says it's not even mine to give? And it's obvious that it's an illustration that he gives us of their comparing themselves among themselves, and it be not wise. You can also look at the example over in John 21 in verse 20, verse around 22 or so. This is where Peter's all been said, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? It's all of that. And then they're walking along and he tells them what's going to happen. Peter asked him, what's going to happen, say, to John? We read this and not think about this as being an act of comparison. It's what it is. Because that's the answer that Jesus gave. And he says, don't worry about what's happening to John. You follow me. The tendency to compare and to be jealous seems to be part of human nature. But brethren, God can help us with that. And perhaps we can look into these topics of jealousy and envy at a later time. But I do want to throw it in there and say this is can be part of this. But I'm not really covering it in this teaching today. But maybe at a later time, I or somebody else can do that. The best antidote for comparing ourselves is being thankful for what we are and for all that we have, for all that we are, for all that we have, and for trusting in God's love and mercy. That's the antidote. We're going to go to Romans 8 and verse 25. Romans 8, 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. But we thank God who we are, what He's doing in our lives, what He has already accomplished in our lives, what He's yet going to be accomplishing in our lives. We're thankful for all of these things. And it has nothing to do with comparing ourselves with one another, does it? Brother, we also need to remember each one of us has been fashioned to fulfill a special role, and all the roles are equally important in the body of Jesus Christ. We fit in the body where it pleases Him, and every part of the body, the church of God, is equally important. Now, we don't tend to think that. We don't think that the left foot is as important, say, as one of the hands. It's not what God says. It's not what God says. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts. There are different gifts, but the same Spirit. Oh, you mean it's possible that we might, in a group of people or 20 or 30 people, we all might have the same gift, but we all might have different gifts? Yeah, but we all have the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which makes all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. We all have the Spirit of God so that we will all have a profit. Yet we're going to compare ourselves with others. When you think about it in this context, you go, that's really not wise, is it? And that's exactly what Paul said. That's what we started out with. Verse 11. But all these works that one and the selfsame Spirit dividing to every man individually as he will. Verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So, tell me which part of the body of Jesus Christ is not an important part. The answer is all of them are. And we all are being shaped and molded to fit in different places in the body as it pleases God. Why would we have a problem with that? Why would we have a problem? Verse 14, for the body is not one member but many. Verse 15, for the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? This is what I'm saying. You know, if we say the left foot is not as important as one of the hands. That's not what he says. He says, shows this very example by saying these things in this way. If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And the answer is, of course it's part of the body. How can you see if you don't have the eyes? How can you hear if you don't have the ears to hear? Verse 18. But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And we are going to be comparing ourselves with one another? Why would we be doing that? Because we're not thinking spiritually. Because we're not thinking like Jesus Christ. We're not thinking like God. Brother, we need to be thankful for how God made us in spite of our weaknesses and our frailties and our faults. I want us to look now at the example of the Apostle Paul. We know Paul did things that were not right. He killed members of the body of Jesus Christ. Okay, got it out there. But afterwards, he sets us an incredible example, and that goes along with this topic of not comparing ourselves. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Now, I look at him and his writings. We don't have writings from all of the apostles. Okay? We just don't. We don't know what their life went on and did. We don't know. But we look at this book that we have, this Bible. We look at the life of this man and we go, okay, well, if he's the least of them, could I at least be like Paul? I mean, if you want to think about it in that way, could we think we would do a bad thing if we were like Paul? I don't think we would think we were doing a bad thing. He says, I'm the least of them. It's a comparison thing, and I understand. And he says, it's because of what I've done in the past. This is what he's saying. Verse 10. But the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Oh, is he comparing himself? Nobody's just telling you what he's done. He says, I'm the least of them, but I am laboring and I'm going to do all that I can do. And this is what he's saying. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He said it was God just doing it. It was still Jesus Christ living in him. This is what he's implying. Jesus Christ in him, this is how he was able to do what he did. Philippians 4, verse 11. Philippians 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am therewith, to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Wherever and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. We consider ourselves, we get to a place that we are better than they are because we have more of this or less of that than somebody else. Paul is showing us that's not right. That's not the point. whatever God has blessed us with, we're to be content, we're to be happy with that. Does that mean we don't continue praying and studying and growing and memorizing more verses and all of that? Of course not. That's not the point. That's not what he's saying, and it's certainly not what I'm saying. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation, should be conduct or behavior or way of life, be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, because he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Here's the point, brethren, and using Paul's example and these scriptures that I've used, there is no room for comparing ourselves. We've got to come to the place that we learn and we understand and we do, that we be thankful for everything in spite of our frailties and our weaknesses and our faults. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. Revelation 5 and verse 9. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the book and to open the seal thereof. He's talking about Jesus, we know. For you were slain and you redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto ourselves, unto God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And we notice the word us. It says us. Not me. Has made us. We're all in this together. We're all part of the body of Jesus Christ together. And again, I ask, and we're going to compare ourselves? When we get right down to it, I think pleasing Jesus is all that really matters. John 5 and verse 44. John 5:44. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? We do these things to get honors or whatever of among ourselves. He says, what difference does that make? It's the honor that comes from God that really is important, that really is the thing that counts. And brethren, please understand, comparing ourselves is in one way looking for honor from others. Even if it's, I'm better than you are. We're looking for honor. Maybe it's just that we're honoring ourselves or that kind of thing. You can fill in all the examples, but that's where we are. 2 Corinthians 10:17. But he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. Remember, we keep asking ourselves, and we're comparing ourselves with one another, whenever what we need to be doing, of course, is looking to God. There is no room for us to be comparing ourselves with one another. If we think that we must compare, then we need to compare ourselves to Jesus Christ. We already know where we're going to come out on that, don't we? But we can look at some things about the way Jesus Christ, who he was when he was on the earth. I'm not just talking about just who he is now. I'm talking about even when he walked the earth. You can go back to Isaiah 53. We're not going to read all of this, but you can read the entirety of this chapter and see how this man was. This is talking about Jesus Christ as the man who became a God being next to the Father on the right hand after his death, burial, and resurrection. But let's see just a couple of verses. He has no form nor comeliness. This is in verse 2. This is Isaiah 53, verse 2. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Oh, we don't want to be like him. He's not all that good looking. He is not all, you know, he's not somebody to look after and to do. This is what it's saying. It's telling us, but he tells us what this man is and what he did. And we see all of these things. Verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he has done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. We want to compare ourselves, we look like this. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you should make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. We need to have more of this heart, more of this attitude. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, including never comparing. And I have others. I have several other passages that go along with this. 1 Peter 2:21. 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us example that we should follow his steps. Wow. We want to compare ourselves to Jesus Christ and strive to be like that. As true believers, there is no room for us to be involved in comparing ourselves with one another, or for that matter, with anyone. Now, after we have seen and heard what we've seen in this teaching to this point, I want to conclude by giving some reasons why we should not be comparing ourselves with others. It's really, in one way or another, a restatement of what we've seen in the sermon. Number one, there will always be someone who is faster than you are. Comparing ourselves among ourselves is not wise, because we're not really equal when you really get down to it. Albert Einstein had an interesting quote that kind of fits here. The part of it does. It said, and this is his quote, "Everyone is a genius." And he's meaning in your own right. This is how he's meaning. You have to read it in the whole context. "Everyone is a genius. But if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it is stupid." Number two, there will always be someone slower than you are. So how's that made you better? The first two leads us into number three. If we want to be better than the others, we don't have to improve ourselves. This is our thinking. This is human nature thinking. If we want to be better than others, we don't have to improve ourselves. We only need to make the others look bad. Then we look better. That's human reasoning. We see it in our daily lives often. I'm not going into examples here, but they are there. And number four, when we compare ourselves with others, we are judging, and that will never help us to develop as true believers. So, brother, here's the point. We are all unique, and none of us can know the real uniqueness of each other, because we don't know each other's real story of trials. And we do not know the deepest qualities of each other's. Yet God does. So we leave it to God. We don't compare. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. And here's the point. With human nature, we compare. And that's not wise. But we have the Spirit of God. We have Jesus Christ in us. And He didn't. We have a choice. To be wise or not to be wise. My hope and my prayer is we will choose to be like God the Father in Jesus Christ, and we will be wise. And therefore, we will not compare ourselves among ourselves or with anyone else. The Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless you all, and happy Sabbath to you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.